is James Shramko, and today we're having a chat to Bond Halbert. So I guess we've got James Bond. Yes. Just came up with that. That's a pretty good one. And we're here at John Carlton's Action Seminar talking about sales, writing, copywriting, and all the big names are here, the Halberts and the David Deutsches and the John Carltons. And I thought I'd take this opportunity just to ask you a few things about sales writing or copywriting. By the way, what do you actually call it?
Always copywriting. It's always copywriting. It's always been copywriting. Whether it was long letter ads or whether it was, long sales letters or whether it was space ads, it was always just the copywriting.
So a lot of people outside the industry get confused with the other type of copywriting, don't they? Whether, you know, the legal protection type or
yeah.
And then if you go to ad agencies, they've got the in-house copywriting, which means they just like fill pages with words, but not necessarily the selling type.
Well, you know, actually I have, there are people I know that, you know, they say they're into copywriting. I'm like, okay, well, what kind of copywriting? And they're literally talking about three words on a box. You know, they're and so people don't understand. No, copywriting is more or less, you know, we're going to slowly talk to you about something and then slowly, you know, convince you that this is something you need and stuff like that. So, you know, copywriting can be real short. I mean, there's no sense of it. But when you're talking about Halberts, you're talking about long copy.
Yeah. So do you still have you've got a soft spot for long copies? Is that still that's the heartland of copywriting?
Well, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. I think that when it comes to copywriting, I think that there always is that thing that the more you tell, the more you sell. But you don't want to get too long-winded. Once you've said something, you don't need to say it and repeat it and berate it, you know, or beat it into someone's head. So I'm the fan of the whole overall concept. If I sit down, or I think if somebody's going to sit down and write a piece of copy, what they need to do is think about the message all the way through and never be afraid of, you know, type, write, and then go back and cut. Because some of the best writing is, you know, you just throw up on the paper as much as you possibly can until you just can't think of anything else to say. Then you go back and you cut everything and cut and cut and cut. So don't be afraid that that ends up being a 19-page sales letter. But if that ends up that it really works best as a one page, that's fine. So it's not, you know, so you don't really become a fan of really only long copy or really short copy. However, personally, I become more of a fan because one thing I notice is there's some really effective sales pitches and copy that's written, but it's kind of written in this ADD style that treats a web page more like a billboard. Right. You know, where it's like, you know, buy now and, you know, you know, this will do this and then benefit, and, you know, and, you know, something to strike your emotions and stuff like that. And, you know, I get, you know, personally, I'm like, you know, talk to me a little bit more and stuff like that. But that's just a personal thing, because the great thing about direct response is your opinion doesn't matter. Yeah. It's in the numbers. It's the proof is test.
Yeah.
And so and of course, I think that the more you're expecting, the higher your price point is one thing, the more you can expect that, you know, if you're going to come at me and want to sell me something for $3,000, I may be able to read the subheads and then go skip ahead to what I want to find, but you need to have it all there so that if I have a question, it's going to be answered in that copy if I'm really interested. You know, if you're trying to get me to click on something for a dollar to watch or read something, I don't need to be sexed up as much. You don't need to build it.
To summarize, you're sort of saying you need to have as much copy as you need to have.
Exactly.
Right, to do the job.
Don't be afraid of it being too long, you know, and again, you know, throw up as much as you can and then cut till it's just gold.
It's quite a common practice, I understand, from talking to the people here at the event that you do the work in the sort of draft phase quite often, then you'll come back to it with a fresh approach, maybe a few times.
Oh, actually, you know, my dad actually worked a little separately than the way most people, and I found out recently because I just started having to write more stuff for myself and stuff like that, and I found that I will write something, and then I'll keep it in my head, and I will pound it down, and I will sometimes go back and rewrite it like sitting down fresh with a completely different approach and see which one I like more, but also will come back to something and then go, oh, I want to add this into it. And then, you know, so it's like a constant work in progress. What my dad did, which was kind of separate from what I see everybody else doing, which I mentioned a little earlier, was he would look at, he would talk to people and get basically his spiel down. And he would see, you know, he'd talk to people and then think about it. And he did. So all that time, well, I'll write something down now and then I'll think about it and come back to it. Think about it, come back to it. My dad, what he would do is sit and think about the offer, think about the deal, think about all of this and let it. And all that time he would just be thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. And then when he sat down to write it, he was so close to the finished sales letter. Right. Compared to what I'm assuming most everybody else does. Because everybody else is like, you know, no, I'm not finished, you know. And, you know, another thing about copywriting is people don't realize how little of it is actually copywriting. You know, you do the offer, you know, you figure out the deal, you figure out the killer offer, you get the grid hook, you figure out all the good interests, and then sometimes you develop the product. You know, it's not always
so in that order. It's sort of the really important elements, the hook.
Yeah.
The offer. And I understand you have to do a fair bit of research into the psyche of who your target is.
Well, that's one of the reasons it's so much easier if you go after something that's your passion. If you're going after a targeted market that you've actually have the benefit of actually enjoying yourself or you love, you know, I'm into this. And so I go and I meet with these people. It's a lot easier. And the thing is, the more you're thinking about or the more you're able to sell something in person, the better you're able to be able to translate that. And so back to what I was saying before, you know, imagine that you're working your way up to ask a girl to go out on a vacation with you. To not just, you know, you don't want to take this girl. You just started dating, but you want to like go on a romantic vacation. You're thinking about it all the time. You're thinking about it and, you know, at work and on your drive home. And then you're like, well, maybe, you know, and then if I approach it this way and, you know, and all this other stuff. And you're not being manipulative. You're just figuring out all
the things. So you're doing a few mental rehearsals, I guess, trying to figure out some different scenarios and get close to the mark.
And by the time you're ready to go talk to her, now you may have nerves that are killing you or something like that, but by the time you go to talk to her, you're not at a loss for words. So if you've done enough of the market research, if you've done enough of all of the homework and the base stuff, if you've done enough thinking about it, you really know your offer, you really know your deal, you know, you go home and you can actually just start pounding out that whole thought process. And then when you come back to it, you're really just making sure that things are in the right place and it's flowing properly more than anything else.
So. Awesome. So for a lot of my people watching this would be in the sort of early stages or the middle stages of internet marketing. Have you got any sort of, like, is there a little step-by-step, like a 1-2-3 checklist that you think people should look at when they're trying to write their own sales letter or affiliate pre-sales? You know, is there some things that you should absolutely have to have there or know about?
Oh, the checklist would be so long. I mean, I would include it in making sure that you're looking at what's working. That's a really important one.
Yeah.
Find out what's working already in that area.
Yeah, it's a big thing that I push.
Go through it.
See what's already selling.
And find those power words, those emotion words and stuff like that, because you're going to want to put use that emotion in there. Oh, absolutely. Yep. You sell on emotion.
Selling on emotion.
Yeah.
See what's already working.
And when it comes to copywriting in general, and I don't mean to turn this into a pitch or something, I would actually, what you want to do is figure out your concept first, you know, the way that we're going to do this. Am I going to do a letter with a grabber attached to the top? Am I going to do a space ad? Am I just doing web stuff? Am I going to go and talk to these people about affiliate marketing? Take the ads that are similar in that campaign. And then break those ads down, you know, like, okay, this is what they did in the attention part. You know, they went for a shocking admission. They went for this and that. Now, you're not going to copy that, rip it off, but you're going to emulate it.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're just going to understand what it's doing.
And you're doing that formula. In fact, recently me and Kevin came across this gentleman who had been a great student of my father's and Gary Benzavinga and Dan Kennedy and all the greats in copywriting. And he put together this terrific outline, which I'm calling the copywriting cheat sheet, because I actually use it. It's the most valuable tool that I personally, I mean, if my house was burning down, that would be one of the tools I'd be like, I need that one more than almost anything. You know?
Well, I think in copywriting, it's just like everyone knows that they should have a swipe file.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a master version.
Well, that's